What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk. This is a bonus podcast. There is no practice, and we're still podcasting. To do so, I have very special guests with me. I have Craig Hoffman from 106.7 The Fan. Hoff, what's up, dude?
Thanks for having me, JP.
I name drop you on the pod constantly because I talk about how much you're in love with Josh Doctson and how often you freak out in the press box when Kirk wouldn't throw to Josh Doctson.
Yep.
And occasionally,
those are true accusations.
And occasionally how I legit think you're worried about my health sometimes because you're a trainer that takes food and nutrition very seriously, and I'm kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum. We also have Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post, who Kareem and I sat together very late at the Cheney Irish Pub, and I think both of us...
When it comes to consumption habits, you guys have a lot more in common than you and I, JP.
We put in work, yo.
But, dude, it's just at camp. Like, I live a normal life when I'm not down here at camp.
I wish I
could say it was just camp for me.
JP is saying it's just camp. That is not the truth.
The frequency is camp-related. Like,
sure.
On a Tuesday night at home, I'm home with my daughter and my wife. Like, I don't go out on, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Maybe I'll have a cocktail on the golf course, but, you know, nothing crazy.
Speaking of which, how much does it suck that it's going to rain tomorrow? No golfing tomorrow.
Well, I'm today is tomorrow on this podcast.
Sucks that it's raining today, so
Monday.
We're stuck here doing this
Monday.
Podcast with
Monday.
JP instead
just
of golfing.
Monday.
Monday.
Don't give away our trade secrets here, Hoff. All right.
I just made it so you could edit it, but now this is just more work for Pete, so that's
fine.
Dude.
Make Pete do the work. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do one thing with Hoff and Kareem. First, we're going to go to Pete's interview with Trey Quinn, where they talked about Fortnite. Then we're going to go to Tandler's interview with Monte Nicholson, which will actually be about football. And then we're going to come back to us. So here comes Pete and Trey in Fortnite.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So I'm here with Trey Quinn for the Redskins Talk podcast. If you play Fortnite, this will make sense to you. If you don't, it's going to sound like another language, but we're just going to get nerd out for a bit. Trey, you did an interview with us saying forget the exact quote, but you're sick on the sticks, Fortnite. When did you realize you're just a gifted Fortnite player? When did you start playing? Take me through your introduction to the game.
I'm going to be humble right here. It took a while. I was more of a Madden guy. Mm-hmm. I played some Call of Duty, so I'm good at shooters, but I never played Gears, so it came hard to me, but through trial and error, over and over, the hours I put in, the blood, sweat, and tears on the sticks, man, it took maybe an hour, and I was just a god, man.
That's a really inspiring story. As somebody who plays five nights a week and still sucks, that makes me feel really good about myself. So take me through your playing style. Where do you like to land off the battle bus? Where do you kind of do you go into crowded places? Do you like to scavenge and then meet people at the end? Take me through the style.
It depends. I love playing with my friends, so I'm a squad and duo guy. Okay. Me and my brother are big into the duos. If I can get my buddies on, we're going to go squad. Everybody wants to go tilted, so we do tilted. Mm-hmm. We reward ourselves with either that or lazy links, because after win, you want to go hit the links, man.
Yeah, put your boys in the golf cart and ride around.
Play from the tips. See, yeah. And just play around real quick. It's relaxing. It's good for you. But if I'm gonna lock in and I'm trying to go on a win streak, I'm going greasy every day. And if my brother doesn't go, brother Carter doesn't go to the middle pro shop, mm-hmm. I'm going to that White House on the corner and turning up from there. Hit a rift and probably going to tilted with what we got and just clear the game out.
This is absolutely incredible. So your weapon set, what's your ideal inventory, your five slots? What do you like in there?
I think since the shotgun nerf, it's been, I go blue pump with, I haven't got to play with the P90s yet because I've been in camp.
Same.
But pretty much I find an SMG and just absolutely obliterate people with that. When it comes down to the snipers, I'll pass on a blue sniper, blue bolt for a blue hunter rifle. But after that, I'm taking the bolts.
I've been kind of sleeping on the hunting rifle. I had no idea it did so much damage until I just kept getting hit with one.
If you can perfect your shot like me and the guys back in Lake Charles, mm-hmm. Louisiana, shout out, then the hunter rifle's for you. If you can headshot every time like we do, where you're 100% accuracy, and I have proof, then that's what you need to do.
Do you have a number of wins, or do you just win so often that it's kind of hard to keep track of?
After the first 2 hours of playing, I lost count. Okay. It's one of those things that it doesn't even take me the typical 20 minutes to win a game.
Yeah.
It's more of like a five. It's almost like a nuke in the old Call of Duty.
Just ends it.
As soon as we jump off the battle bus, the game ends.
Yeah, I've heard as soon as your feet hit the ground, everybody just gets booted.
Exactly.
So I know Darius plays. I know Adonis Alexander plays. I think Tim Settle plays. Have you played with any of them? Do you have scouting reports on them, or are they just... You just kind of let them be because you don't want to introduce them to your skill level.
I've never seen LeBron go down to the G League and play a game before.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see me play with those guys. I keep it pro level, and my expertise is so crisp that I can't be sidetracked by something like that. So,
Trey, Quinn, thank you very much for spending time with us. And I feel like I'm a better Fortnite player just from talking to you. So thank you, and hopefully it carries over.
Learn by osmosis right there.
Thank you, man.
What up, everybody?
Earlier this year, Coach Gruden said that you have the same effect on the defense that Jordan Reed has on the offense. Did you hear that, and what did you think of it at the time?
This is one of the highest honors that I've ever gotten. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I mean, it means nothing if I don't back it up. So, I mean, that's just where I'm at right now.
And he also, kind of the other part of that, the negative part of it is, injuries, which you dealt with last year. How are you feeling physically, and are you doing anything different this year to try to stay on top of things?
I feel really good right now. I mean, as far as what I'm doing, preparing like a pro. I mean, that's what the older guys are telling me to do, so I'm just kind of taking stuff that they've done and what they're doing and kind of making it into my own, because everybody's different. Not everybody has shoulder injuries, somebody got knee, but it's all about preparation and how you take care of your body, so that's what I'm trying to focus on right now.
Now, a lot of guys, second-year guys are saying, last year you have the draft, you come in, it's kind of a whirlwind, and you're really not necessarily doing things the right way.
Oh, yeah, I mean, without a doubt. It's a big transition from college to the pros, you know what I mean, not just the playbook and the players that you're playing, but off the field as well. You know what I mean? There's no school. There's nobody on top of your back anymore. So like I said, you got to prepare like a pro. You know what I mean? That's just taking accountability for yourself, being responsible for your body and whatever you're doing on the field.
New rules in the NFL this year about lowering your head to, not lowering your head when you make contact. I asked Jay about it this morning, and he actually brought you up, saying because of your height, you might have some problems with that. Is that something that's on your radar? Are you trying to make sure that that you don't get fined or ejected? I know that.
The biggest thing on my radar is safety. not just for myself, but for my opponent. You know what I mean? It's yeah, this is a dangerous game, and we play and we love it, but we also have to be able to play it. You know what I mean? And I am taller. You know, those receivers, some of them are a little bit smaller than me, a little bit shorter than me. It is going to be a task, but it's nothing that preparation won't be able to handle.
Now, last year when you came in again, it's a compressed time period, and also you were, you know, you didn't really know where you were on the depth chart when you came in because you had Sua and you had DJ and, you know, other more experienced guys. Now you come in knowing you're the starter. Is there a different approach to that when you come in, knowing that, hey, as long as I do my thing, I'm at the top of the depth chart?
No. I prepare like I'm the last person on the depth chart. You know what I mean? I'm asking questions to DJ, to Coach Gray. That's just the way I've been. You know what I mean? You gotta prepare like you're the last man on the chart. You know what I mean? I gotta have that chip on my shoulder, essentially.
So you're maintaining that underdog kind of.
Oh, I have to. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just what I know.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
No problem.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
All right. You learned some stuff from Monte. You learned about Fortnite with Pete and Trey. Now it's time to learn something from. We'll start with Kareem. One thing that has stood out to you through 4 days of practice at training camp?
The thing that stood out to me, I think, is the connection between Alex Smith and Jamison Crowder. Crowder's been getting open regularly, and Alex has been finding him. I think that really kind of fits Alex's, I guess, strong suit. You know, we know he's an accurate guy. We know he works really well intermediate and underneath
stuff. Yeah.
And it just seems like a perfect fit between those two guys. I talked to Zach Brown today about Jamison, and he said he thinks he's running his routes better than he ever has in the past. And so he's just been so crisp, and Alex is just finding him and dotting him. And so that's been the biggest thing. You know, you want to see that connection between – everybody's wondering what the connection between Alex and the receivers are going to be and how fast they can get on the same page. Well, it seems like Alex and Jamison are on the same page already.
Well, and last year we kind of all predicted the real Crowder breakout. You know what I mean? And because his stats steadily produced from rookie year to year two, and everybody's like, all right, this is Jamison's year. And then he had that nagging hip thing throughout camp.
Yeah,
never really got going in camp. And then the hammy came a little later, probably related because he's overcompensating for the hip or whatever. And I'm with you. I wonder, let's try to set some numbers for Crowder. 850 yards sounds about right to me. What did he finish last year with?
I don't remember.
I don't think he quite got to eight, right? I want to say 769.
Yeah, I don't think he got to eight, obviously in part because of the injury. I mean,
he's going to catch a ton of balls.
Yeah,
right. I think you're talking 75 catches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you put the number at 85, I'll go under. But that's also because –
what if I put it at 72?
Over. I think it's going to be right in that, like,
right about 80.
That like 75 to 80
dude,
range.
Dude, he had eight. Dude. He had 847 yards last year.
Did he really?
No, I'm sorry. He had 789 yards last year. So that was right. He had 840 in 2016.
And I think about that 850 number is probably right because you got to remember Jordan Reed, if he's healthy, is going to take a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. Richardson, who had a great day in the last practice before the break, he was, you know, if he's going to be an effective player, probably gets 50 to 60 balls. Doxson, you have to think it's 50 to 60 balls. Is a number one guy. Vernon Davis is going to get some. Chris Thompson, if Byron Marshall, whoever Chris Thompson's backup is, Geis is a bigger backfield, you know, catching threat than any of the other running backs they've had on first and second down the previous years. So there's going to be a lot of balls to go around, and they're probably going to run it more. So I don't know if Jameson's going to push 100. But I do think that 80 number is about right for him.
He seems to be that safety outlet, you know, when everybody else is covering and, you know, Alex is looking around everywhere, and then it always seems like he comes back to Jamison, you know, with an out over on the sideline. Once he runs, he gets to the end of that crossing route or something like that.
Well, he does a good job of, like, when the route's done, he still works to get open.
Absolutely.
Right, and that's something that's going to be huge with Smith. And we saw it on the first day of padded practice where he had that play where he leaked up the sideline for a touchdown in team drills. It was one of the only really good offensive plays that they had on Saturday. So I think that's where maybe he gets some touchdowns, things like that, where it's not just the red zone stuff where he has been somewhat of an effective player despite his size. He knows how to, you know, actually becomes almost an advantage down there to be able to sneak into tight spaces and make tough catches. But his ability to get upfield as plays break down and Smith is running around could be huge for them.
Sunday's practice, by far the best practice we've seen, right?
Oh, for the offense, for sure. I mean, I thought Saturday the offense struggles had a lot to do with the defense. I thought the defense was on top of everything.
I was thinking fair. The same thing. The defense was firing yesterday.
But they also, the intensity today was higher. They hit today.
They
opened with their own little version of an Oklahoma drill. Now, I always find it interesting in those, and it's fun as hell to watch, don't get me wrong. But, like, the guy, so coaches have very specific matchups, and they shout them out, like, you know, Hoffman versus Copeland or whatever. The coaches shout that out. But it's always like third string dudes that get those drills.
Yeah, I mean, you saw like, Kelly and P&I, but today it was only guys that were playing special teams. None of the starters were over there.
I didn't see. I saw Kelly there, but I didn't see.
I saw him. He went with Spate, and I think Kelly cheated the drill because they made him go again, and then Spate got really excited, even though they just ran into each other. I never know. Like, it's rare that I know who wins that drill because they just run into each other and kind of move a few feet, and then the whistle blows. Occasionally, a guy gets stoned or a guy gets blown up, but. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Marchell Spate won that rep because he was really excited about it.
Is Crowder the leading receiver this year? Not receptions, yards. I think receptions, certainly.
It's receptions, it's him or Jay Reed.
I think he leads in receptions even more than Jay Reed.
I'd probably pick Crowder over Reed, too. Yeah.
Yardage is going to be difficult because, he's going to be working so much in the middle and underneath, that kind of stuff. And, you know, guys like Richardson over the top are going to get those big.
I still think it's Crowder.
Less. My ankle just popped. Holy shit. Yeah.
You're sitting down doing a podcast.
Will this make the podcast?
Yeah.
He just injured himself.
For the play-by-play, JP, mid-sentence, just his ankle popped. And
just pops sometimes.
Apparently that's a thing.
Richardson's yardage won't be that significant. It'll be significant, but like the success rate on going deep just isn't high enough. The success rate on an 8-yard in route to Crowder is significantly higher.
Where Richardson could live though is those deep crosses and things.
How
that Pierre
have you not talked
catch.
About Josh Doctson in this situation?
Because I'll tell you what, man. Like here, you want me to be in character and complain about Josh Doctson not getting enough looks?
Yes.
He hasn't gotten a lot of looks in team situations. Like I don't feel like they've looked at him a whole ton. And maybe they're trying to work some of these other guys. Maybe it's just where the defense takes
it.
I'm trying
to work on this ankle.
But, yeah, I mean, it is – I have been surprised at how few times he has been looked to on any kind of route in team drills. It's not like he's running wide open, but he has not gotten a lot of looks.
I'm saying Jameson's been gobbling up. He's been eating.
Vernon's gotten a lot. Yep. Richardson had a monster day-to-day. Look, it's only been 2 days in pads. I'm not – I, JP, with Josh Doctson and my love for him, I'm not freaking out yet. But it has been an interesting development.
But I haven't seen you jumping up and down screaming that he's open like you normally do.
No, that's true, too. It's not like he's running. I think that's one of the things that stood out about Alex, too, is like you see a receiver flash open and so does Alex. Yeah. And it's way more important that he sees it than we do sitting on the sideline. And so whether it's Richardson today running across the middle a couple times, whether it's Jordan or Vernon is coming out of the tight end spot, when these guys flash open, Alex is ready for it. He delivers the ball on time, on target.
And that's what you would expect from him. That's that's been his MO.
Right.
And that's really why I think him and Crowder has been able to connect so quickly, because he's a guy who gets open, especially in that range.
Assuming health for Alex, right? Which is always a big assumption.
Yeah.
He's been durable, but just for any NFL player.
Yeah.
Assuming health, there's zero, to me, it's a certainty that he gets over 4,000 passing yards.
Yeah, I think so.
And we've chosen that as like this arbitrary number that we all care about. But he's only done it once in his career. We've all talked about that a lot. That was last season in 15 games, which doesn't get mentioned. But in this offense, I don't see it. I don't see it not happening.
Alex Smith's career high in attempts is, I believe,
significantly less than what Kirk was doing.
Kirk's average.
Right.
And that's his career high.
And when Kirk piled up the yards in 16, when he almost got to 5,000, he threw the ball 600 times.
Right.
Gruden
so
didn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like
Darius might change that up somewhat.
Right. They're going to run it more.
Throw
but
the ball
more is a relative term.
Right. 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 Mm-hmm. So up or down vote, no wiggle room. 4,000 yards, Alex Smith. Yes or no?
Up.
Yes. Up.
Okay. All right. So we're all agree there. You haven't. What is your one thing, Hoff?
I'll go with the depth. I mean, I think Alex is the most obvious thing and kind of how he relates to all the other pieces we just talked about. But you look around, man, rep to rep, there's not a lot of drop off, which is really impressive. And I think that maybe we'll start to notice some of it more as we obviously get in deeper into practice and more contact and more situational football. A lot of the stuff. I mean, today we got some red zone looks, but you know, whether it's Troy Apke, you know, being in the same places that Monte Nicholson is, maybe not arriving with as much force as Monte would, but he's generally where he's supposed to be.
Has he made
plays a good day
yet?
Yesterday.
Okay.
He made a couple plays yesterday.
He hasn't picked anything off, but, like, he's, you know, he's escorting guys to the sideline in the running game and things like that.
Kenny Ladler is making plays.
Yeah, that dude's popped a couple times.
Down the safety chart.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of the point, though, whether it's Apke, Ladler, you know, at the linebacker spot as these guys have gone in and out, there's not a whole lot of drop-off. Again, that's harder to see, you know, run fits, things like that. Obviously, at receiver, we've seen a couple of different guys make some plays. So the guys like Simi Cobbs and Cam
Mo
Sims.
Harris making catches.
Yeah, Mo Harris. Brian Quick, I think, has had an awesome camp so far.
What happened? He was out.
Thigh contusion.
Yeah, so.
Day now.
That's tough for him, man, because he's fighting for a roster spot, but he's looked really good, and then you get banged up. This is a tough business.
He's lucky the off day's tomorrow.
Yeah.
He better come back on Tuesday and continue where he left off. But even, like, I'd say one of the biggest positions in terms of depth, corner has been ridiculous. Like, all those dudes are playing well. Norman's always an adventure in camp because he's trying stuff and he knows he's good. But from Skandrick, I think it's been really good.
I think Dunny's played well.
I think Stroman actually is the one I've had some concerns about. He's holding on every play. But he's been involved. I think Danny Johnson, the undrafted free agent, has looked awesome. Moreau's looked great.
I think Moreau's looked good. I don't know. Adonis Alexander, I've found perplexing.
He's been up and down.
I don't know that he has this. I think he can help you in the red zone because of his size with tight ends.
He's so big and long.
I don't know that the speed is there, or we haven't seen it yet.
Thing is, he's so far behind.
And dude, I think you can counter true speed with quicks. And I don't know that he has the quicks either.
Yeah, and you wonder how much he's having to think compared
right.
to everyone
Maybe
else
that's
reacting.
The problem. Right.
And so, like, for him, I'm willing to reserve judgment, but he's another name that's certainly in the mix.
I'm not judging yet. I'm just saying. Maybe because of the supplemental, whatever the cause, there was a lot of excitement around him, and I don't think he's delivered on that excitement yet. But again, we're 4 days
I think some of the excitement's because of the upside. You know, you have people, I'm sure
huge.
Both of you guys did.
Huge.
Yeah.
Both of you guys probably had people tell you right after they drafted him, like, yeah, this kid could be really good. But it could be, not is definitely going to be, which is why he's sixth rounder.
And I kind of want to go back to Stroman just real quick. And like you said, he has been a little bit handsy. I will agree with that. But it seems like he's been in the right place. And that's kind of what I've been, I guess, judging. I feel like you can improve, you can learn not to grab and not be so handsy.
Right.
But at least you're in the right place where you're supposed to be.
The question I have, the way I don't have the answer to, is he in the right place because he's holding on for dear life and getting dragged to the right place as opposed to, hey, if you keep your hands off, am I going to be 3 yards behind the guy that I'm supposed to be covering and not be in the right place? I don't know the answer to that. Coaches could probably give you a better idea.
And a guy like Stroman is going to get a ton of work in preseason where they call everything. Mm-hmm. So that, if the issue exists, will be exposed quickly.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
But, dude, I mean, you mentioned Danny Johnson. Like, with the Holsey situation being what it is, right now they got six corners. You count them pretty easy. Stroman, you could talk about the depth there, but I don't know.
Well, count them out. We got Norman is definitely making the team.
Right. Norman, Dunbar, Moreau. Sure.
Dunbar, Moreau, Skandrick.
Yeah.
We think Alexander's...
They just used a six on Adonis. I think he makes the team.
Yeah, I think Adonis makes the team. You got Stroman and Johnson, right? We're missing someone?
Holsey.
Well, that's who's really... That injury was really bad timing for that guy.
Right.
Because, like we're just talking about right now, there's a lot of competition
he needs
to be out there, and he's not.
And the difference between Holsey and Stroman is Stroman potentially could get leaked on a practice squad. Holsey, if you let him go, like... He's got no practice squad eligibility, I don't believe. He probably played too much last year.
Think?
I mean, he was active for, especially down the stretch.
It's a prime Tandler question.
Yeah.
all right, my guy, and it's tough because, like, there's nothing that – talking about guards isn't cool. But
neither is when your ankle is popping in the middle of a podcast, so I think this is kind of your brand.
It's because I played guard. Have you ever heard of Maplewood? Kareem, I need to take you to a Maplewood game. Hail Maplewood. Brandon Scherff is so damn good, and we just don't talk about it. But he's dominant in drills where the advantage goes to the defense. He's that good.
Yeah, no, there was a rep today. I was down on the 7-on-7 side of the field, so fans have an understanding. You know, you split the offensive field in two. On one half, you got one-on-ones, defensive line, offensive line. They play 7-on-7 on the other, so I'm kind of doing the tennis match watching back and forth. And you know, in between a 7-on-7 rep, I saw Matt Ioannidis get stoned. I'm like, that's interesting. Oh, never mind. It was Sheriff.
Right.
You just go, oh, that makes all the sense in the world. That dude is so strong. And it's not just his upper half, but his lower half, his base, his ability to set and not allow any penetration. That's like a quarterback or running back or whoever's running behind him's dream.
Speaking of just one-on-ones, this just made me think of the other day. My favorite play of camp so far has been Tim Settle just leveled a dude. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. I think it was Casey Dunn in that one-on-one, and he just bull rushed him, and Dunn was flat on his back. I mean,
Settle's
he put it on
way more athletic than you think for his size.
Absolutely. The kid can move, and he's got power, too. I mean, you could just hear the sound when he hit him. And he just, I mean, it was cleats up in the air. So I know that's just completely random, but that's been my favorite play of camp so far.
This is the place for that.
Bouncing around.
This is the home to random Redskins minutiae. We did 5 minutes on Kenny Ladler.
Yeah. Well, just to piggyback off that in terms of minutiae, as you do, everyone does their favorite 53-man roster projections. Include a backup.
54-man roster. They changed it this year.
No, they did.
I know.
Okay.
But I wrote a 54-man roster projection.
Oh, well, you probably shouldn't have done that.
It's a running bit.
Make sure you have a backup center somewhere.
Yo, so it's funny you say that. I actually noticed this today and talked to Kime about it. Rainey.
Yeah.
Bergstrom makes more sense because he can play center and guard. But Rainey is physical as hell.
Yeah.
And he's got that nasty streak that Sheriff has. I'm not saying he has the talent, but he has that in him. Callahan loves that shit.
Yeah. I
think Rainey Bergstrom, you want some deep cuts, Rainey Bergstrom is a very interesting kind of roster battle.
When I put together my 53, I had Rainey on it. I was somewhat of a placeholder just because I knew I needed a backup center, something that I didn't. I just kind of figured based off math that they would need someone to be able to be a backup center. And then Jay basically said today, like, backup center's really, really important. So I was like, oh, I'm glad I did that. Rainey on some level was a placeholder, but, like, I think it's him, Bergstrom. You know, Casey Dunn can't be getting dump-trucked by Tim Settle, but, like, one of those dudes is making the roster.
It's funny because, speaking of Jay this morning, you know, he was talking about how much he likes those guys. Whoever it is going to have to be able to play guard also.
Yes.
So those guys that are multifaceted are going to get a little bit more love in Jay's eyes because they can do more than one thing. They can move over to guard and be a little bit versatile there because, you know, I mean, you got to have a backup center.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You saw it last year. Thank God. Thank God for Rullier.
Rullier was able to do it,
exactly.
Right.
And Long was a guy who went both ways, too. And especially if you're trying to figure out how many offensive linemen they're going to keep and they keep two strict backup tackles.
Do you teep
I speak for a living, and sometimes I don't do it well, JP. Because if Christian can't play guard and Nseki is, like, Nseki's not really a guard either,
right.
That's two strict backup tackles. Moses and Williams are tackles. That's already four that can only play one position.
Right.
That is not a lot of flexibility for an NFL offensive line.
All right, we got to go. What are you doing for the off day, Copeland?
My wife is driving up in a couple hours, so I'm hoping to get all my writing done today so I can have a free day with her tomorrow. Lord knows what we'll do, but I'm sure.
Sounds scandalous.
I'm sure we'll eat.
Dude, go to the,
that's what I know about Richmond. Is
do
eat.
The brewery tours. Just walk around, Vale, Arden,
yep.
Then go to ZZQ. You'll have a great day.
Oh, yeah. No, I did ZZQ yesterday, and I'm definitely doing it again.
All right. What's your Twitter?
Twitter, Kareem Copeland, at Kareem Copeland.
Follow him. Hoff, what are you doing for the off day? You playing golf with Pete?
That's the goal, but I don't know if the rain is going to allow us, so we shall see.
What are you going to shoot out there?
The goal is to get as close to 100 as possible. This is like my first summer really back. I've already cut 15 shots off the score, so we're trying to get to 100.
15 shots off the score? What the hell are you shooting?
That's 120.
Okay, now you're like trying to break 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Just make some putts. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm going home. We have Redskins. Pete, what are you doing for 100?
Blank staring at JP.
I have to go back. All right,
maybe Pete and I will FaceTime from the golf course.
We have 100 back in Bethesda tomorrow, which means I'm driving home tonight, driving back here tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. all right. Thank you guys for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.